I've been told my whole life that when I turn 30-something, then all of a sudden I won't be able to eat whatever I want, you know, because then I'll gain weight. Like, eating the food will actually do something to me, because most of my life I've eaten whatever I want and never gained any weight. And Tammy's giving me this look like, I hate you. Because, you know, in fact, when I lived with Tammy, she felt like I was wasting my talent and ability because I didn't eat more. But, but you know, I turned 33 this last week, and I swear, like overnight, I feel like I gained 10 pounds. I don't know. It's just like, I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, what is this? Where did it come from? Who are you? I don't like you. So I do need to exercise, but where's my bodybuilders at? Where's my bodybuilders at? We got one over here. Chris Simkowski. Hey, rounds of shape, buddy. Where, you know? But I know Jarrett works on his body. You know, Jarrett works out. Billy works out. Nathan, you're pointing to Nathan because you've been going to the gym, Nate. Right? You got the 20 inches yet? No? But Billy Szabo sent me a message yesterday. He sent me a link to a YouTube video. And it's like 20 minutes long. I'm not going to show you. Plus, it's like really gross people with giant muscles. So, but I watched this video, and it was from this guy named Kai Greene. Any of you guys hear of Kai Greene? Some of you guys? No? He won like the Arnold Open, or like Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Governator. You know, he's got this big like contest, and he's going to be like Mr. Universe, hopefully. But he started talking about, it was like a day in a life video where it followed this bodybuilder guy around. And I'm like, this is pretty interesting. And this starts out in this dingy dollar store in Harlem. He's like, I want to show people the real deal. He's like, I don't want to show people, you know, the success I've had, you know, the nice house or whatever. I want to show them where I started. So he's like, shows us this dingy apartment, this like one bedroom place where he used to work out, you know, and cook food and everything. And he starts in this dingy dollar store, and he goes in and he starts getting Tupperware. He's like, the first thing you need if you're going to be a bodybuilder is Tupperware. All right, so much. And he gets all this Tupperware, and then he goes to the store and he buys like massive quantities of food, and he goes home and he spends like 2 hours cooking. He's like, this is what it's all about. Preparation, preparation, preparation. He's cooking. He fills up all his Tupperware containers because apparently I'm supposed to be eating a meal every 2 hours. Is that right, Jared? It'd probably be bad for me. I should be eating a meal every 2 hours. That's what the bodybuilders do. So, but they have to prepare their food so that it's with them, so they're not tempted to eat the wrong thing or to not eat or wait till later and mess up their anabolic state that they want to maintain throughout the day. So I'm watching this, and this guy was incredibly disciplined. He was talking, and he was talking to all these aspiring bodybuilders. I'm not one of them. But he was saying, you know, having a trainer is not what you need. Having a nutritionist, that's all great. That's good stuff. That comes later. But if you can't cook your own meals and prepare your own stuff and stick to your routine and your schedule and discipline yourself, then none of that's going to help you do anything. But if you will stick to a schedule, a routine, he said, I did this 6 years, you know, just barely scrimping by to be able to afford to buy the food I need to and work out regularly before I was ever approached by somebody that said, hey, can I mentor you and train you? And they approached him because he had put years of discipline into it. And I thought about that. I thought about that, and it's true that your success as a Christian depends on your own commitment to these spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about. And last week we started talking about spiritual disciplines. We talked about disciplines of abstinence, which means kind of withholding something. It's saying no to one thing so that you could say yes to another, okay? Saying no to TV or video games so that I could say yes to having some special time with me and God, okay? Saying no to keeping the TV running in the background so that I can practice solitude, silence. You know, these disciplines that we talked about. Anybody try this week? Okay, a couple of you guys. Did it feel really great? It did, didn't it? And you wonder, why don't I do this more often? And you kind of hate yourself a little bit for not doing it more often. I did it, what was it, Monday? Right after Sunday. Take Jake to school. Monday's the day off. And so I go home, and I'm like, I got all kind of stuff to do. But no, I'm going to create margin. I'm going to create space. And I'm going to just try to sit and be quiet and meditate on God and be with him. And I had to keep slapping my hand from grabbing the phone and from the iPad, and I kept thinking, oh, I should get up and get a drink. Sit down, Ron. Okay. And I forced myself to do it. It felt so great. I was so centered and focused for the day. It was amazing. But I don't do it enough. And we need to do it more. We need to practice these disciplines. So today we're going to go through six more disciplines. I'm going to go through them pretty quick. But there's six disciplines. These are disciplines of engagement. Disciplines of engagement. So rather than abstinence and saying no, these are things we say yes to. And if you have the handout, that's great. Keep that with you. Take it home. There's probably more handouts floating around somewhere by the door. Maybe ask Chris or one of the other guys. But if you have the handout, that's great. We're going to just follow along through that. Or you could just keep that and take it home with you. The first one is Bible reading. Bible reading. And this is trusting the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of Scripture as our guide, wisdom, and strength for life. I want to read from you, or for you, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." God's word is the water to our souls. I did an illustration with the youth group, and I had two clay pots, and one of them said faith, and the other one said fear. And we talked about how we plant seeds of faith in our life or seeds of fear in our life. And I had little seeds, and I had pots with real dirt, and I put the little seeds in. I said, you know, when you go to school, are you going to trust God by not talking back to the teacher and say, I'm going to do it God's way and have faith? Or are you going to have fear of what your friends will think if you don't talk back to the teacher because they were just disrespectful to you, so you got to stand up for yourself? And so then, because I'm afraid of what other people will think of me if I follow God, I'm going to go ahead and plant a seed of fear. So we did that. It was a cool illustration. I put these up back in my office. They sat in my office for a couple months, and like little stuff started to grow because, you know, it was seeds and dirt. One of the pots, like, I had a few things grow, and then, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I looked at them this morning. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in there. It's just dirt. What happened? Huh? I didn't water it at all. I didn't think about it. I wasn't trying to grow something. It was just an illustration, you know. They sat in my office, and I'm like, I need to get rid of these things. I got dirt in my office, you know. It sat there for months and months on my desk, and it was a cool illustration and reminder, but I wasn't intentional about cultivating those seeds, about watering those seeds. And so even though they naturally started to grow a little bit, which is what happens when we get saved, when we come to know God, when we come to church and you hear a little bit of the Word of God on a Sunday morning, and it starts to naturally grow in your heart. You go home and you're like, wow, that was great. I needed that. By Saturday, if that's all you got, if you didn't water all week long, you just got a pot of dirt. So then you come back Sunday morning and get a little bit. You're lucky if you grow anything that way. You really are. It's not going to work. So we have to water on a daily basis. If we discipline ourselves to read the Bible daily, we will have a key piece of growth in place. It's the water. It's so important that we water ourselves with the Word of God on a daily basis. You could do this several ways. If you're old school, get your Bible, get a book. You can go to Ollie's. You can get Bibles cheap at Ollie's. They got them at Walmart cheap. You could go buy the book and have it ready. Or if you're even cheaper, and you spend all your money on a smartphone or an iPad, you could get the Bible app. I use YouVersion. It's one I like. There's Olive Tree. There's some other ones. I know Jim Williams has one he really likes. It's got like videos and stuff that goes along with it. There's lots of Bible apps. If you get YouVersion, you could go on and there's reading plans. It will pop up on your phone every day and say, read these verses. You click on it, you read the verses. It'll even read to you. You can hit play and listen to Alexander Scorey, read you the Bible. You know, you could do that if you want. There's no excuse in the country, in the day and time we live in, to not read on a daily basis. You could do it in the shower. Just hit play and listen. Okay? There's no excuse not to engage with the Word of God on a daily basis. So do it. Make sure you do that. Another thing is Life Application Bibles. are a great thing. I know Pastor Joe likes some of the Life Application Bibles, and it explains to you what's going on in the passage, gives you context. Another thing, we here at Calvary Baptist Church, we use the King James Bible. That's kind of like our standard that we use for all our teaching and stuff. But if you're reading this and it's driving you crazy, I don't think you're going to go to hell, and I'm not going to yell at you if you use a different version for your daily reading, okay? If you do, the reason we stick with the King James is because it's a literal translation. Just a little side note here. Literal translation versus dynamic translation. Literal translation is word for word. So they took the original text, the original words, and they translated it. If it says dog, then they put dog. They don't put canine or puppy or woof woof. They put dog, okay? And they translate it word for word. Other translations are dynamic, and they'll translate phrase for phrase or thought for thought. And we think when we read the Bible, it should be a literal translation. It should be a translation that gives us the exact words that God meant, and the Holy Spirit will teach it to us as we read. So, for a long time, there was no other good literal translations. Myself, personally, I've started reading the ESV in my daily reading. You might want to check it out. It's a literal translation. It's finally more modern translation that actually has some really good stuff in it, and it doesn't have all the these and thous. For your personal reading, you know, if that's what it takes, then go for it. Go for it. Please don't let that stop you. Okay? I'm removing all your excuses. Like, oh, I don't understand it. Okay, read a different version. Well, I don't have a Bible. Okay, get the Bible app. Well, go to the dollar store. If you can't afford a dollar store Bible, come to me. I will buy you a Bible. Okay? We will get you a Bible. We got some in a box upstairs. Water yourself. Read the Word of God on a daily basis. The next one is prayer. Prayer. Conversing with God about what we're experiencing and doing together. This is what prayer is. Reading the Bible is how God speaks to us. It's how He speaks into our hearts and our lives. When we pray, it's how we speak back to Him. It's how we communicate back to God what is going on in our lives. It's a two-way conversation. Reading the Bible is so important. I have my headphones in a lot. You guys know this. And so they double as not just headphones, but as a headset, so I can have conversations. How many of you guys wear either a Bluetooth or some other kind of hands-free headset and talk on the phone? You guys are missing out on some of the wonders of life right here, okay? Hands-free, you can do all kind of other stuff while you're talking on the phone instead of like this. It's really awesome. You should try it out. But I do that, and I'll be at Walmart. I'll be standing in line. I'll be like, oh, really? So what happened? You know? And people are like, who is he talking to? You know? And then they realize, oh, he's got the headset. Oh, he's got the, you know, he's talking. It's okay. You could do the same thing with God. You know, maybe you don't even have to talk out loud. But if you want to, that's fine. You know, you're in Walmart. Dear God, that's so expensive. Lord, what in the world are they thinking? You know, or, I mean, whatever you want, you could just talk to him out loud, you know, or God, I don't know what's going on, you know, with my life. Or you could say it quietly in your head while you're going. But the point is that we should be praying about everything. We should be praying. You should share some categories of things you could pray about when you talk to God. Forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you. You could thanksgiving. Dear God, thank you for what you've given me. Okay, that's another one. Information. Dear God, did you see this happen at work today? Yes, he saw it, but you know what? He likes to hear it from us. Okay? If I go to a school play where my son is doing like a little school shindig thing, you know, and I watch it all, what am I going to do on the way home? So, how do you like your program? What was going on? What did you think? You know, I want to hear it all from him because he's my son and it matters. And we're God's kids and it matters. He wants to hear it from us so we can share information. Request is another one. Dear God, please help me with this or use this. Use them all. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And I think Bon Jovi said it well. He said, living on a prayer. So take that. I'm not going to sing it for you. The next one is soul friendship. So scripture reading, prayer, soul friendship. What is soul friendship? Soul friendship is engaging fellow disciples of Jesus in prayerful conversation or other spiritual practices. And I think this is one that we've kind of lost tune of in America. At least guys have. And guys, I'm going to kind of get a little into your business this morning, okay? A little bit into your business. Because I think ladies do better at this. I'm not going to say they do it really well, but they do better at this. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sometimes we'll get together and as guys and we'll watch sports or maybe go hunting. I do neither of those things, so I'm kind of in a pickle. But guys tend to not have great, deep friendships. We just get busy. We just get disconnected. If you get a phone call from a guy, a lot of times it's, hey, can I borrow your truck? Sure, thanks. You know, it's like, that's what we do. It's like, hey, it's done, you know, Saturday. We communicate, you know, we got it taken care of. But really the soul friendship thing is important. This is what it looks like. How many times have you met somebody and it seemed like you hit it off, you had chemistry with the person, they were interested in the same things you were, and you're like, we should do lunch sometime. You ever said that? Okay, that's step one. You need to start saying we should do lunch sometime or get a cup of coffee. Or how many times has somebody said that to you? Everybody have that experience? You meet, we should do lunch sometime. We should get coffee. We should go hunting sometime, right? We should watch football together. We should get together and play music. So along those, something like that. So what do you do? What you do is, and this is what I learned, I say, that's a great idea. When? And I pull out my phone, get the calendar ready, say, how's Tuesday? Oh. And so then they'll look at their calendar and they'll, next thing you know, we're getting lunch together and we're doing life together. And as I meet with people, I sit and have lunch with them, I talk about it, I hear their life story, what's going on in their life, what they're dealing with, and I get to share my life story. And it's so valuable. It's so valuable. We may not fix anything in the whole world, but we've communicated as human beings. It's all about being intentional, and you're gonna hear this over and over again this year. Intentional relationships. Intentional relationships. Intentional discipleship relationships. What is that? They're not optional, for one. An intentional discipleship relationship is all about following Jesus, being on mission with Jesus, and doing what he says. Doing what he says. And doing that with someone else, okay? Doing that with someone else. So, as you build relationships with people, every one of us needs somebody to mentor and someone to mentor us. We need somebody that we can teach what we've learned and somebody that can teach us what they've learned. We all need that in our lives. We have to have that. And so if you don't have that in your life, you're going to miss out on a huge opportunity for spiritual growth. Because if you're not teaching what you learn, then you're going to get clogged up. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The next one is personal reflection. Personal reflection. That's paying attention to our inner self in order to grow in love for God, others, and self. In youth group, I used to do mind, body, spirit all the time. How many of you have ever had to do that? We got Rebecca, Bethany, yes. The guys upstairs, Nathan and Jace. Nathan's like, I hate you, bro. Mind, body, spirit was where we had to go around and take inventory of our lives. What's going on mentally in my head? What am I thinking about? Has there been a prevailing thought of bitterness in my mind all week long that I've just been replaying over and over? Okay, you need to know about that. And you should do something about that if that's been like going on in your mind. Body, you know, did you bust your knuckles scraping ice and didn't do anything about it? And now it's gangrene and infected? Or I'm just really, really tired. And well, I've been staying up till 4 a.m. and getting up at 6. Maybe you should do something about that. That's gonna affect you spiritually. That's gonna affect you physically. You're not gonna be on your game to say no to temptation and live for God if you're not getting proper sleep and eating and all that good stuff. And then spiritually, you know, have you talked to God? Have you done these disciplines? So we would do mind, body, spirit. And they hated it. They hated it because most of the time we don't want to look at what's going on in our life. In fact, America and our society, our culture, has spent a lot of money on giving us everything we need so we don't have to look at ourselves. Okay? There's awesome entertainment, there's television, there's music, there's everything you need so that you can stay busy enough with a job or with spending money so you don't have to look at yourself. So you do not have to deal with your problem. It's really hard to actually find time to take care of our personal lives because we have so much work and entertainment going on a lot of times. And so, how do we be intentional about personal reflection? Looking at ourselves and saying, God, where am I for real? Not what I show on a Sunday morning or what I fake to my friends and on Facebook. What's really going on inside of me, God? Does that honor you, and what am I supposed to do about it? And that's why we have an opportunity for you guys. You will have an opportunity this year to join a small group. Because small groups are all about creating an environment specifically designed to facilitate discipleship relationships and personal reflection. Okay? Two of the spiritual disciplines right there. There's a reason for it. Because these are tools that help you grow exponentially in your spiritual walk with God. Exponentially. We learn better in circles than in rows. We really do. We learn better in circles than in rows. And so, when it comes up, because we have limited space right now, we're growing it slowly so that it's healthy, so that it's organic. But when it comes up and you have an opportunity to join a small group, you're going to have this thought in my head, well, that seems optional. You know, maybe I'll think about it. Maybe I'll do it. Spiritual growth is also optional. Okay? Think about if it's something you actually want in your life. If you want spiritual growth, if you want to grow spiritually, then you'll sign up for it. If you want to be consistent, then get in a group. And when Pastor Joe comes to you, or I come to you, or one of those other small group leaders, and say, hey, would you like to join our small group? That is a special opportunity. It's like winning the lottery, okay? It's your answer should be, yes, I want in. I want in, because it's an awesome opportunity for you to grow spiritually, okay? The next one is service. And we've only got a couple more, so hang in there. Humbly serving God by overflowing with his love and compassion to others, especially those in need. Jesus says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How do you figure? Because when I get Christmas gifts, it's pretty awesome. And giving them is cool too, but how is giving better than receiving? When we serve others, we're like Jesus. When we serve others, it's an opportunity for Christ who lives inside of us, who has transformed us, to manifest himself, to come out of us, use our hands, our feet, our mouth, to love someone else. If somebody comes in through our doors that is broken, that is hurting, that needs hope, who's going to hug them? Who's going to love them? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to meet their physical needs? Who's going to be willing to meet their spiritual needs, to be their friend, to help walk with them? As Pastor Joe kind of cast a vision for us a couple weeks ago, who's going to do that? Jesus is, right? But he's going to do it through us. He's going to do it through us. And when we serve, it's this incredible opportunity to work with Jesus in loving someone else. And sometimes you're like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. I don't feel like loving this person. And he says, just do it. And you do it. And you're like, wow, I get it now. This is so cool. God, you are awesome. You're awesome. And this has to happen from the overflow of our lives. And many times, we don't serve because we don't have anything to give. We're like, I'm dead. I'm beat, man. Because we're like those pots in my office that haven't been watered, that haven't been groomed, that haven't been taken care of because we haven't been exercising the spiritual disciplines. So we're like a bodybuilder who has a gym membership, never eats or works out, you know, and then we go and we're like, I'm going to flex. Yeah, check this out. You know, we got nothing to show for it. Got nothing going on here. Okay? There's nothing. And we're like, yeah, I'm going to work. Okay, I'm going to go volunteer. We go sign up for something. We go do it. And we're like, oh my God, this was horrible. That was so hard, you know? It's because we haven't exercised. We haven't spiritually disciplined ourselves. We have none of this tools and capacity built up in us. That's why these spiritual disciplines are so important. Coming to church on a Sunday morning is vital because it's how we do many of these spiritual disciplines, by meeting together. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Eating one awesome meal by a gourmet chef a week is not enough. As great as the food might be, I'm going to need to eat again Tuesday. And if it's Raisin Bran, so be it. You know, I need to eat. We need to eat. It has to come from the overflow of us. And when we are full, when we have filled ourselves up through spiritual disciplines, through time with God, then we need to empty ourselves to make room for the new stuff. God puts into us, we got to give that out to someone else. It's got to overflow out of us, or else we just get constipated, spiritually constipated. And then we walk around like this. Of course you're feeling like that, okay? You are in serious need of some relief. You need to serve. You need to get it out of you. You need to take care of someone else or do something, or else you will get that face. You know, that's, how do you know a mature Christian? They've got the frown on. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's somebody who's not serving, who just knows a lot of stuff but hasn't done anything with it. I ask you this, what good is knowledge if you don't teach? What good is knowledge if you don't teach? What good is experience if you don't do something with it or show someone else how to do something with it? What good is wisdom if you don't counsel? What good is strength, physical strength, if you don't work? We've got all kinds of stuff going on in the church. You know, Roger's up here all the time. He has incredible experience over years of engineering at the hospital and building. So when the building smells like what in the world's going on, we call Roger, we call Dean, because Dean knows about heating and air conditioning stuff. But these guys, they got the brains. They could sure use some brawn sometime, am I right? They could use somebody to climb the ladder, you know? And so we have guys that do that. I know Fuzz has climbed up and changed light bulbs in here because he's not afraid of anything. But what good is intelligence if you don't help us plan and strategize? If you have a mind, what good is organization and administrative skills if you don't organize and administer? It's just gonna be useless. It's not going to help you, and you're certainly not going to grow in it. So I want you guys to grab a sheet on your way out of these spiritual disciplines. This isn't a real big, like, introspective message that's going to hit you in a certain way probably, but this is nuts and bolts. And I pray, I hope that some of you guys get energized about looking at these spiritual disciplines and say, how can I be intentional? I want you to pick one this week. Maybe it's Bible reading. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's one of the other ones on the list. And say, I'm going to be intentional about doing this week. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to incorporate this into my daily routine. If you have a daily routine, you lift, you're one of those anal retentive people, you know, and you've got obsessive compulsive, add this to the list. It will grow you. It'd be good for you. Okay, if you're not one of those people, then figure it out. Post-its everywhere. Read your Bible. Post it on the mirror. Write it in lipstick, you know, on the walls. Don't do that. But do something to remind yourself to do these, because it is so important. And if you don't, you're not going to be healthy spiritually. You're not. And Satan is out there. The enemy is out there. We're not just in this by ourselves. There's a real world out there, and there's a real spiritual battle that's trying to knock you out. Because he doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want you to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of husband, the right kind of mom, the right kind of wife. He doesn't want you to be healthy and feel strong enough with yourself that you start to help other people, because then that messes up his plan. He wants you to feel tired. He wants you to feel run down. He wants you to feel empty. And he wants you to think that this Jesus stuff doesn't work. I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been tried and found difficult, left untried. And it's so true. So I want to encourage you this morning to try one of these spiritual disciplines and work it. Let's exercise it out this week. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for your scripture. God, I pray that as we look at these spiritual disciplines, that you'll plant in our hearts the idea and the intentionality to do this stuff, to make it part of our routine, to make us healthy spiritually, God. We pray that you would bless us as we seek you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.